everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You are listening to It's All About Food. I am here broadcasting from the Responsible Eating and Living Pandemic Headquarters with Responsible Eating and Living co-founder and It's All About Food co-host, Gary DeMattei. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Karen. It's good to see you. Woo! Yeah. 7 o'clock cheer. No, it's not 7 o'clock.
No, but it soon will be. Yeah, that's something we've been doing every day for, it seems, a long time now.
Yeah, and it's getting better and better and much more well-produced. I mean, a lot of people are getting out there with some fancy gadgets.
Like pots and pans and drumsticks.
Yeah. Pots and pans and drumsticks, but now even bells and the things that you probably have in your cupboard from New Year's Eve parties. I mean, they're breaking it all out. It's great.
It's getting more and more creative.
Yeah, and it's wonderful to have that kind of support here in the epicenter of Queens, New York.
There is never a time to not tell people about expressing gratitude.
Yes.
We need to wake up each morning with gratitude. We need to go to sleep at night with gratitude, focusing on what we're grateful for.
Okay, great idea. I'm grateful for the fact that the sun is out.
Can we talk about the sun?
Can we talk about how wonderful it is to have the sun out?
Think about the sun, Pippin.
Yeah. I mean, Annie was right. The sun will come out tomorrow.
The sun will come out tomorrow. And it did come out here in the epicenter of the pandemic. I don't know if you can hear the sirens behind us, but they're still quite present.
Yes.
Even though they tell us that the death rate is going down and the number of new cases here in New York City is going down, it's still quite here.
Yes.
And we're reminded all the time. But what really helps, because we were really feeling the darkness.
Yeah, it was getting pretty bad.
We stepped outside when the sun came out, and we're very fortunate to have an east-facing terrace.
Well, that's what we mean by stepping outside. You have actually ventured out. I have not. I've been in the apartment for, going on 7 weeks
now. I don't know. What is it? 6 weeks? 7? I don't even know anymore. Who's counting? What day of the week is
it? But you actually went out and did some, you know, essential errand running and walked through the neighborhood and saw some pretty frightening things in addition to some pretty lovely things.
You know, the way we are going to survive this, the way any species has survived over hundreds, thousands, millions of years, is through cooperation.
Amen to that one.
Yes, cooperation. It's not the survival of the fittest. And if you study Darwin and others that talk about this, it's cooperation, not competition.
It's cooperation and collaboration.
And collaboration.
Right?
Yes.
Those are the two essential C words that we'll use.
When I went out, I was happy to see many people with masks on and paying attention to the social distancing and being 6 feet apart. There was an adorable little kid on a bike with a mask on and another adorable little kid with a mask on a skateboard. And that was nice to see.
That's cool, right?
That was very cool. But then as I got closer to the commercial district here in Forest Hills on the famous Austin Street,
which is a big, long street full of businesses like restaurants and bars and clothing stores, etc.
There were two restaurants that had long lines. It was around lunchtime.
Right.
It was after lunchtime. It was maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, actually.
Long lines out in front on the sidewalk.
Long lines. They were not obeying the 6 feet apart distancing regulation. And the server who was standing out at the entrance of the restaurant giving people their paper bags of food did not have a mask on and was a foot away from the people that he was giving the food to, talking to them.
And there was a lot of drinking going on the sidewalks, right?
Yes, there was another establishment that serves alcohol, and there were about 5 people, no masks on, drinking out of plastic cups. I can only assume what were in those cups. But they were having a fine time, and I'm glad they were enjoying themselves. But no masks, no social distancing, and they don't know if they have the virus. And this is the thing about cooperation. You may not know you have it. You could easily spread it to someone who is vulnerable.
Right.
And that vulnerability we are discovering is not just the elderly, and it's not just those who are compromised with chronic diseases.
No,
it's
everybody.
A lot of healthy people and young people, too.
Yeah, a lot of young people are now starting to show up with different signs, but when they test them, they have the virus, and it's dreadful for them.
Yes. So if we're going to survive, it's cooperation.
What are we saying here? We're saying when the sun comes out, people are going to start getting this feeling that they're... I mean, I know I had it when I went out on the terrace. I felt like, wow, life is full of possibilities. I'm brave now. The sun kind of does that to you. I'm going to put on my shorts and get out there and soak up some sun, and I'm going to take a walk, and I'm going to go to the takeout place, my local takeout place, and hang out and get a beverage to go, an alcoholic beverage to go. And once that starts happening, your reasoning goes out the window, and we stop cooperating and collaborating the way we're supposed to get through this thing.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, another thing that's happened, and again, this is called It's All About Food, so I can talk about this, is we have in our neighborhood a theme song, and it is the Mr. Softy.
I hear it now?
The ice cream trucks.
Do you know how often it has come around while I've been broadcasting this show over 11 years? It's like, it's almost the theme song. We've called it our theme song.
It is our theme song. That's exactly what I was just saying. And anyway, we heard it the other day, and I was really kind of alarmed by the sound of it, because I immediately thought, well, that can't be right. How can there be a Mr. Softy? How can that be considered an essential?
It's not really essential. And we read some articles recently that there are a bunch of rogue Mr. Softy trucks, and the owner of the Mr. Softy company can't control them because they own their own trucks.
Right. It's a franchise operation, and part of the franchise is to own your own truck. And they have complied with all of the rules, which is they've shut down operations. But they have these rogue Mr. Softy drivers going around selling ice cream. And there's some articles written about it. Anyway, that can't be good.
No. And unfortunately, for some of them, that's their income.
Right. So what's the solution? Because, you know, everybody needs to make a buck. Everybody needs to do some soul searching on their own. And there are some things happening. Today, for example, we have what's called Giving Tuesday Now, May 5th, 2020. If you go to their website, now.givingtuesday.org, they have some suggestions. I'll just read. It's quickly here. Mobilizing the world through giving. We believe that generosity has the power to unite and heal communities in good times and bad. A global threat like COVID-19 touches every person on the planet, and it presents an opportunity to come together as a global community. Giving Tuesday Now is the hashtag, is a new global day of giving and unity that will take place on May 5th, 2020, in addition to the regularly scheduled December 1st, 2020 Giving Tuesday. As an emergency response to the unprecedented need caused by COVID-19, let's come together to create a wave of generosity, citizen engagement, action from business and philanthropy, and support for communities and nonprofits around the world. Ideas. We can still show social connection and come together on behalf of our communities, even while practicing physical distancing. Here's some ideas. Here's some bullet points. Support healthcare workers by donating supplies, advocating for them, and staying home. Give to the organizations that you love most. No amount is too little, and nonprofits need your support. Help out small businesses by buying gift cards or writing an online review, or I'd like to add, donating some money to the organization that is desperately in need of support. Like your local restaurants or your local Mr. Softy guy. You know, maybe walk out there and say, hey, man, this isn't a cool thing. Or, you know, why don't you take this money and
stay home.
Stay home, park your truck. And combat loneliness by reaching out to a neighbor, relative, seniors, or veterans. Discover more ideas for how to participate and get daily ideas via text or email by signing up for our daily generosity alerts. That's not our daily generosity alerts. That's Giving Tuesday Now. Generosity alerts.
Yes, and there are people that have and people that have not, and hopefully the ones that have will be generous to those that have not.
I know you've talked a lot about Bilal on this show, and you've also talked a lot about you've also interviewed Bilal and his Easy Kale product. A case in point of what you just said, by reaching out and seeing how you can get involved in your community, Bilal's been doing some remarkable things and has been recognized for it by his own city.
That's right. He's in Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just been amazing what he's been doing.
Yeah, he's been doing some incredible stuff.
I want to just share that.
Meanwhile, it's not easy to do things of the heart. And these projects require some courage. And I guess that's why a lot of people wait before they act. But now I think it's a really great time to think about all of the good things that you've been wanting to do and take that step into goodness.
Okay, can I read what Bilal wrote me?
I was just kind of covering for you.
Thank you. I pulled it up. Yeah. So Bilal, the creator of Easy Kale, the green powder where one tablespoon is equivalent to 4 cups of leafy organic kale. He also donates food every week in Mississippi. And you may know that Mississippi is one of the least healthy states and a pretty poor state. He wrote to me and said, I've been pulled into the city of Jackson's COVID-19 Emergency Task Force and their Economic Recovery Committee when the city issued a stay-at-home order. Over 6,000 students are registered with the Jackson Public Schools free meal program. They were in severe need of food, and I called up my contact and had over 17,000 pounds of food shipped in within a week and a half. We also provided over 600 pounds of emergency food to the Jackson Police Force and PPEs as well. The crisis has severely affected the extreme poor in Mississippi. Many are waiting on checks that have not shown up, and we have parents calling in a panic, unsure of how to feed their children. The food pantries have become overwhelmed with the huge spike in demand. The city has authorized me to take over a government building and make it into a free emergency food site for the entire city. That was from Bilal, the creator of Bilal's Easy Kale.
Proving yet again, if you touch one person, you can change the world. It's true, everybody. I know you're listening to this, and I know you agree that all it takes is one generous step towards collaborating and cooperating with your neighbor, your friend.
And it's a win-win, right? Because you feel good and you help someone else feel better.
Yeah.
I just want to say one more thing about the sun and early morning sun and getting outside. If there's any way that you can safely get outside and get some sun, it's very beneficial. If you don't have a terrace, but you have a window, open it and spend some time breathing the fresh air. It will do you good and help you through this crazy time. And if you can walk out safely, have your mask ready. If you're going to be near anybody, put it on. And even if you're more than 6 feet away, put it on because it'll make the other people around you feel better. There are all kinds of discussions about those moisture droplets and how they can stay in the air. And 6 feet may be a good recommendation, but let's be a team about this and wear the mask when there are people around.
Yes, you can step out. Nobody's saying you can't step out for a walk, but just be prepared.
So this last week, 9 days, I've been working with the Food Revolution Network on their annual 2020 summit. And every year I like to give a wrap up of the things that I learned because I spend the time during the summit while the interviews are going on. And John Robbins is interviewing people and Ocean Robbins is the maitre d' and he's, or the MC. Ocean Robbins is the MC and he's introducing everyone and summing things up and answering people's questions. I am typing answers, nutrition question answers to people that are posing them. And most of the questions are always the same every year.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little different tone, but the soy question is soy food a safe food? Does it cause man boobs? Is it a problem with women who have had breast cancer? All of the conspiracy theories that have been thrown around and are totally unsupported come up again, and people say, I thought soy wasn't healthy. So I just want to review. We have a video at responsibleeatingandliving.com called The Soy Story. And it's linked to other reports, so you get the references and the resources to support what we're saying. Soy, minimally processed soy foods that are organic and non-GMO, like soybeans, edamame, tempeh, tofu, unsweetened soy milk, and miso, are foods that can be a part of a healthy whole food plant diet. That doesn't mean you have to consume soy. There are over 40,000 varieties of beans, legumes out there. If you have a problem with soy, you don't have to eat it, but it's a great food and it can be part of a healthy diet. And most of the studies out there that conspiracy theories are thriving on are either poorly done studies, studies done on animals that don't really relate to humans, or short-term studies, all just things that don't make any sense. Now, there's also some positive soy-based studies on isolated soy proteins, and I caution about that because even though they may appear beneficial in some studies, they are highly processed, and we don't encourage people eating highly processed foods. So it's best to get the benefits of soy from whole, minimally processed soy foods that are organic. And many people kept saying most of the soybeans are genetically modified. What you need to know is most of the soybeans are grown to feed animals. So most of those GMO soybeans are being fed to animals.
And then you're eating the animals.
And then you eat them.
You're getting the GMO soybean in you.
That's right.
And so does it make sense? No, none of this makes sense.
No, none of it. So that was a big one. There was another bunch of confusion over coffee. And I like to talk about this.
A very sensitive subject.
It is. You know, some people
Don't take away my coffee. You know, you try to take someone's coffee away, it's not a good thing. You're not going to survive.
So there's good news for everybody. John Robbins loves his coffee. And he presented many research articles and support, along with some people that he interviewed, that coffee can indeed be part of a healthy diet. And there are many studies that show that coffee can help reduce the risk of numerous chronic diseases. Dr. Greger comes along and says, yeah, coffee's okay, but why not choose the beverage that's even better? And he recommends green tea.
Which I know you recommend as well.
I love green tea. I love white tea. And the best way to consume these beverages, which I don't do year-round, but I definitely do it in the summer, is to cold brew. Because when you cold brew a green tea or a white tea, you're getting more antioxidants. The heat can actually destroy some of them, but cold brewing does not.
And it works, right? Cold brewing?
Yeah, usually I take a jar of tea and water and overnight and put it in the refrigerator at night. In the morning,
you have tea.
I have tea. It's so easy. And you can strain it afterwards. I always recommend using loose organic tea. Get rid of the tea bag. It's just bad news.
You have a great source for tea, too, don't you? Loose tea?
Source? Yeah, there are many places. We like Arbor Tea.
Arbor Tea.
Arbor Tea. A-R-B-O-R. Arbor Tea. But there are many places that sell organic green tea.
If you have any questions, you could always email us at info@realmeals.org, and we will share our sources with you.
Our tea sources.
Party.
But the point is, if you don't like coffee, or if you're sensitive to coffee and it keeps you up at night, or it gives you heart palpitations, or you don't process caffeine that well, the good news is you don't have to consume coffee to have the benefits of a healthy life and lowering risk of chronic diseases.
Now, the reason that someone like the great John Robbins promotes coffee is because of the benefits of coffee with respect to Alzheimer's. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that's a piece of it. But he also likes it.
He likes it, of course. But I mean, why he's promoting it is because it's been shown to slow the deterioration of the brain.
But a lot of this information is epidemiological studies that are just showing correlations with large groups of people and what happens with them. It's not a study that selectively is a control with the same group of people consuming one thing and not another and seeing what happens over a long time. That's just not possible.
Right. But when someone is trying to sell you something, they're going to pull that one thing that they know is going to get your attention, mm-hmm. and say, hey, by the way, if you drink coffee, You won't get Alzheimer's,
right.
Which is not true at all.
Right. It lowers a risk. It's been shown in groups of people to lower risk.
But as far as green tea is concerned, it doesn't have the same side effects as coffee.
That's right. Now, it does have caffeine.
Right.
And drinking decaffeinated green tea or decaffeinated coffee, too, still has benefits, not as much. If you're not eating refined, highly processed junk foods and you're eating nutritious, whole, minimally processed plant foods, you're doing great.
Right. And with someone like me, I drank a lot of coffee in my life. I drank a lot of caffeinated beverages. I drank a lot. I mean, when I say a lot, I mean a lot. You know, 5, 6, 7 cups of coffee a day minimum. And now I can't, you know, since weaning myself from caffeine, I can't go back to it. It just does not work for me anymore.
Yeah, you see what happens in your body when you have a
little. Green tea just drives me nuts. So there are those out there who can't handle caffeine. What do you suggest for those folks?
Well, first of all, I want to say that that's called vitality, Gary.
Right.
When you get healthy and you eliminate these foods from your body and then you have a little bit of them and you react even bigger than you did before, that's your super strong, vital body responding to something it doesn't want.
Well, see, that's a really good thing. You're spinning this in a positive way.
Yeah. So you were going to say before I jumped in and interrupted you.
Yeah, so what would you suggest to those of us who love to have a nice hot beverage in the morning but can't handle the caffeine and don't like decaf?
Oh, yeah. So we love Ticino.
Ticino.
We love Ticino.
It does taste like coffee, and it's a chicory.
And you can brew it like tea, you can brew it like espresso, you can make it in a coffee maker, you can make it in a jar, you can make it in a teapot, you can make it any way you want.
This is becoming a song.
And
you're
and
doing Dr. Seuss here, the vegan version of Dr. Seuss. You can brew it in a jar, you can brew it in a car. You can get it at a bar. No, you can't. That's the bummer. The only place that we can get is at the Vegetarian House in San Jose.
Yeah, not a lot of places offer Ticino. So no. I suggest you recommend that. Now, another tea we've been drinking, we've been experimenting with a lot of
herbal
teas.
Yeah, I came up with a really great mix the other day. It's a loaded question because I know the answer is that there's a lot of teas out there that don't have any caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very tasty. And you can still put M-E-L-K in them, and it's it's wonderful. And so one of them is rooibos.
Yeah, rooibos, the red bush tea.
Red bush tea.
It's from the leaves of the red bush, and it's red.
It is red.
And it has its own unique kind of tart, fruity flavor, but it's very mild.
And it adapts well to other flavors.
And you might have to adjust to it. It might be an acquired taste, some would say.
Now, someone would correct your pronunciation, too. The barista at Pete's corrected you once when you ordered a rooibos. She said, a rooibos.
Oh.
Or something like that.
She said something like that. And like, eh.
She said, it's not rooibos, it's rooibos. So
Anyway you say it,
it's that R word T. That looks like rooibos.
It's got a lot of I's and O's in it.
It's not rooibos, it's rooibos. If you all out there know the correct pronunciation, please hip us to it at info@realmeals.org. But anyway, so we've got this chai spice.
I want to talk about the chai spice first, okay?
Yeah, okay, go.
So we love chai spice tea, and it's typically a black tea mixed with cardamom, black pepper, cloves, cinnamon. It's lovely with a plant milk and maybe a little sweetener. It could be stevia. It could be a little date, whatever you like. And it's a really lovely, lovely hot beverage. We love it. But we don't want to add the black tea anymore. And so we started buying the chai spice without black tea. And it took a while to find it. An organic mix. If you're interested in it, I'll let you know where we get it. And then we ordered plain rooibos tea, and I'm calling it rooibos.
We ordered that rooibos tea.
And we've mixed it with the chai spice to make our own rooibos chai spice. You can buy rooibos chai spice together, but we haven't liked the mixes that are already
Well, that was
made.
The thing I was going to say, is you could buy the mixes with the chai spice or the Earl Grey, which is the Earl of Bergamot flavoring,
right.
Or you could get Earl Grey Rooibos. You could get Chai Spice Rooibos. You could get all kinds of different flavors. Vanilla. There's an almond rooibos.
Yeah, we like the almond vanilla rooibos.
But then we realized they're just adding almonds and things to the rooibos. So we decided to, I just got this crazy idea that let's mix the chai spice with the rooibos.
And it was a wonderful mariage.
Yeah. Brava, brava.
And then we mix it with a lovely plant milk. And each week we seem to have a different plant milk that we're mixing up.
Yeah, today it was hemp milk.
Yes, hemp milk.
Because of the nut milk bag.
And that's disgusting. Say hallelujah. Thank you, John Phillips, for recommending the nut milk bag that you like because it's working fabulously.
Yes. But there's also this thing that you learned about on the Food Revolution Summit that you can share with everyone if you don't want to squeeze your milk through a nut milk bag. And that's a...
Well, the Food Revolution Network has been promoting the almond cow.
The almond cow.
And we haven't used it.
No.
But it's a milk machine that heats up the milk and then strains and blends it and strains it for you.
Separates it, too.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know how it works, but they were promoting it.
Sounds like a mini version of the separator that one would find on an old farmstead. Where you milk the cow in the morning and pour the milk in the separator and it separates the cream and the milk.
Making almond milk or hemp milk, for example, I really don't mind straining it through a nut milk bag because there's not a lot of fiber.
Mm-hmm.
The soy milk is another story with the okara. And there's a lot of okara that's involved.
Right,
and that can get really messy.
We've certainly been having fun with okara, though.
We are, and I can't wait till our soybean delivery arrives. It has not arrived yet.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
The Wells Fargo wagon has not arrived yet, but we're waiting. Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming down the street. That's how I feel. I feel like Winthrop, waiting for our soybeans to come from the Wells Fargo wagon. We're getting them from California.
Yeah, it's on the Wells Fargo wagon.
And it's taken
And we'll be really excited when it arrives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wrapping up the Food Revolution Summit, visit responsibleeatingandliving.com. If you still want to catch some of the interviews, they are making an interesting offer that if you sign up and register, you can get a two-day free broadcast of all of the interviews. If you're interested, it's evergreen. So whenever you sign up, you get 2 days to listen. And you can also buy the package if you wanted to get the whole thing, but you don't have to. It's still free. So we'll have a link there up there for you at responsibleeatingandliving.com if you want to know more about that.
Right. And those interviews are great.
So more about what's going on here at the Responsible Eating and Living Pandemic Headquarters.
Speaking of homesteading and farmsteading and setting up our own factory of little wonderful food items that we're manufacturing every day here from scratch. And we really went way back in the origins of bread making, didn't we?
We did. Now, you know, I'm kind of gluten sensitive and I try and avoid wheat, but I still eat wheat sometimes and then kind of test my body to see if I'm going to have the consequences that I get. And we experiment with einkorn, the ancient grain, which is an original wheat before hybridization came along. And we get it organic, so it doesn't have those glyphosate residues from desiccating the wheat grain, which is a disaster.
What is glyphosate?
Glyphosate is the main component in Roundup Ready herbicides that are used for soybeans and alfalfa and other Roundup Ready crops. The World Health Organization has called it a carcinogen. It's used, like I said, as an herbicide, but also in growing grains, it's used as a desiccant to dry the crops quickly before harvest. And the EPA has said it's not a problem, but when you mix it with some other ingredients in Roundup Ready, that's when its problems are magnified. And this happens a lot in science where a particular ingredient is tested and found to be not very problematic or safe, but they don't test it with the other ingredients, the non-active ingredients better active. And the combination could be deadly. The combination is toxic. And that's what's happening in Roundup. I think glyphosate alone is probably pretty bad, but with the other ingredients in Roundup, it's even worse.
When you say glyphosate-free, you're talking about something. Glyphosate is something that's
not good.
Pretty horrible.
Yes.
And you want to stay away from it. So keep going. I wanted to get everyone up to speed on what glyphosate is.
We wanted to order some einkorn flour a few weeks ago, and they were out everywhere on all our favorite online storefronts, and we were searching for it everywhere, couldn't find it, but we could find einkorn grain. So we bought it.
Right.
And then made our own einkorn flour in the Vitamix. Thank you. And we just made a bread with it. And it was, how was it, Gary?
It was tremendous.
It was tremendous.
Rustic. Mm-hmm. Very rustic. I mean, this is a bread that is really, really dense. You don't need a lot. You just need a slice and you're fine.
Yeah. So kneading it. Have you ever kneaded flour? If you knead, add yeast and water to a refined white flour, it's very soft and
fluffy
and it makes a very light bread. And then if you add whole wheat flour, it's a little firmer, but still kind of fluffy. Well, this was a very dense dough.
But it rose. I mean, it rose with one package of yeast. So that was pretty incredible.
But it's not fluffy. But it wasn't heavy.
No. It was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
And we're still eating it. So this is the other thing, is grinding your own flour or making your own flour with whole grains is possible. And it fits with the minimally processed concept that you discuss on this program, and which is the foundation of this organization, is eat minimally processed food. And so when we're talking about processed foods, we're talking about something that's gone through a lot of steps to break it down, correct?
Right, that's correct. And remove nutrients.
Right. Like Mr. Softy ice cream.
No, please.
So what do you do if your kids are screaming for ice cream and, you know, you can't risk their lives by running out and going to the truck? How about breaking out that ice cream machine? You know you've got one and start making your own again.
You know, we were talking about this.
With plant milks.
About how when we were kids, it was really fun to go outside and buy ice cream from the, quote, ice cream man, the ice cream person today. I was wondering what was so wonderful about that experience.
Yeah. The food truck experience is not only wonderful, it's quite the phenomenon. Look at the city of New York. On every corner, there's a little food cart. And it's just an event. You know, you go up to the guy, you have that connection, you see eyeball to eyeball with the person, you buy the dog or the pretzel or whatever it is, you're standing out there in the middle of this unbelievably incredible community of people that just kind of happens in spite of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're munching on it. And so I get the event, I get the excitement, I get the little bit of, hey, we're going out and communicating with one another and communing with one another. But during a time of a pandemic, you know, that's got to be put on hold and we all need to rest a while. So, because I know that it's difficult to find even ice cream in the stores, right? It's being bought up.
And Mr. Softy ice cream is not a food that we recommend. It's not healthy.
Nor do we recommend ice cream in the traditional sense. But if you're trying to, you know, transition to a plant-based diet, you're trying to get your family to transition with you to a plant-based diet, sometimes you need a treat, as we've often talked about on this show, which is also the foundation of this organization. There are treats involved. So what do? There's some great plant-based ice cream recipes all over the internet. And like I said, we all have an ice cream maker, or if we don't, they're easy to find. It's a fun project.
Especially. Yeah, the thing is to make it an event.
Make it an event.
Making ice cream an event, and kids will like getting involved. Make it an event.
Right.
Now, I used to really like, when I was young, to hand crank the ice cream. That really made it an event.
That's really farmstead, isn't it? Putting the rock salt around the ice so tell us why the rock salt doesn't makes it.
Right. So in these ice cream makers of yore,
right.
A big wooden bucket. And it has an aluminum bucket inside. It's got a crank that turns the aluminum bucket inside. And you put ice and salt, can be rock salt, into the wooden part, and the aluminum bucket kind of swims in the ice water. And the salt is added to lower the melting point of the ice. So the ice can be colder.
Right.
It will stay colder longer. It's just like what we do on the streets when we add salt to the streets, so that it can stay liquid, not icy, which is so dangerous in colder weather. We recommend you make ice cream.
Or, you know, something like
but
that.
But make it an event so that it's more fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's talk about how we got here.
Yes.
How we got here, and not that we know how to get out of from where we are here to a better place, but maybe some thoughts on that. So we're talking about humanity and right. how over the last 10,000 years or so, we have been socialized in such a way that we treasure our freedoms, but we're not really free. And we've been domesticated. And that leaves many people empty, feeling empty, unsatisfied. We're not as connected to the natural world. We're not connected to the wildlife. That has led us to be disconnected to such a point where we can put animals in factory farms, no windows, we don't see them, we don't hear them, and then we slaughter them and we eat them. And it's
yet
really...
Yet we think we're so connected now that we have these phones, but in reality, we are more disconnected than ever.
Yes.
Because of the phones. Because of this celebrity-oriented, head-in-the-sand culture that we are all thinking that that's the most important thing. To be represented digitally now has replaced standing around and making eye contact with someone and doing the things that are naturally in us to do. We're going against what we are. It's now more than ever a time where you really do need to reach out. And as the cliche went, or the advertisement went, reach out and touch someone. But do it in a way where you are safely, you know, you're at a safe distance. And I think that one of the greatest ways you can do that is by doing what we talk about on this shoot, by creating something wonderful for someone to eat and sharing that with them. I know a lot of times people have asked, or doing something that you create and sending it to someone. Like, we've been receiving masks from our friends.
Handmade, beautiful, colorful masks.
And it's just been the most wonderful gift I've ever received. Because it's not only this person sat down and made this thing for me, but it could save my life when I go out and finally take a walk. Especially if they want us not to use the types of masks that healthcare workers are so desperately in need of. So now we have to make our own masks. And it's just a wonderful thing. And the same thing goes for, you know, making a loaf of einkorn bread and sharing it with someone, or offering to buy a bag of apples for your neighbor, you know, isn't going to be able to get out because they can't find a spot in line at the grocery store. I mean, what is that about, right?
Right. Can't get a spot on the online delivery.
The acts of kindness that we've been shown here in New York have been overwhelming. I just think that now more than ever, you know, ironically, we need to connect with people. Social media doesn't seem to be doing it because it's kind of an anti-social media now. I mean, you can really see how it's being exploited. It was a good idea at first.
Well, the Zoom app and other apps similar to that have been very helpful.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is those things are there and they work.
And we've been having family weekly meeting, actually a few of them, with different parts of the family. And it's kind of fun to see them.
It's fantastic to see them.
Yeah. And like your brother and your nephews gave you a tour the other day of their house and the plants that they're growing and the trees.
Yeah,
and there seems to be more of a need now to stay in touch.
You know, we have neighbors, and I know that our neighbors are there for us and we're there for them. Do you have neighbors? If so, do they need help? Do they need a mask? Do they need someone to say hello? I know that I have friends living in the country now. And the one thing that I get from them when they text or call is, I always say, gosh, you were really smart to get that country house. Head out of the city when you did. And they always say, yeah, but it's so lonely. There's an upside and a downside to this thing. So staying in touch is important. I really encourage people to use the phone, as you would say, Karen, as a phone.
Use the phone as a phone.
As a phone, right?
That's right. With FaceTime or just audio, but use it to connect and try and give it a rest. Otherwise, you don't need to be looking at it all the time on Facebook or checking your email or reading the newspaper. Kind of see if you can break that addiction, but just use it to communicate.
Right. We can really go back to using our phones as a phone. Because remember how wonderful it used to be to hear someone's voice. And now more than ever, I think, and now with FaceTime and Zoom and all of those platforms that you discussed, I think now is the best time to just really reach out to your friends and say, hey, let's FaceTime. Let's talk. Let's look at each other, even if it's through a screen. Let's share recipes and have dinner together on Zoom, which is what we're doing. And I know a lot of you are already doing that. It's really nice to get back in touch with the fact that this thing that we're holding all day long is actually a phone. And, you know, that's really wonderful when you need to hear someone's voice. But making food and sharing it is a wonderful gift. And that's what we're here. And especially if that food that you're sharing has no pain and suffering put into it, only love and joy. And I'm sounding like I'm preaching a sermon here, but I'm not. I'm just babbling because I've been in quarantine for almost 7 weeks.
Yeah, well, we've enjoyed being at home in some ways because it's enabling us to work on some projects that haven't had attention in a while, and we're still creative in the kitchen. And I know more people are going to the kitchens. More people are finding their kitchen. We get comments all the time, which I really appreciate. And I recently heard from one listener who asked about using cassava flour. I have to admit, I've never tried it, but I just ordered it. Organic cassava flour. And I will be veganizing a recipe for this person and playing around with it because it's a gluten-free flour and it's supposed to work similarly to wheat flour. So I'm looking forward to trying that.
Right. This is the Responsible Eating and Living Test Kitchen. So if you have any ideas, like the listener who requested to Karen, have you tried this? Ask Karen if she had tried this cassava flour. You went out and got it.
Well, I didn't go out.
You know what I mean?
I went to my local online store.
Virtually went out there and got it. Now we're waiting for it. Maybe it'll be on the Wells Fargo wagon. Who knows?
Maybe. And the other thing we bought, which I'm really excited about, we found organic masa harina.
Yeah.
How many people have made their own corn tortillas?
Yeah.
Well, you must know that if you're going to make the authentic corn tortilla, you need masa harina, which is a special kind of corn flour that's treated with lime, the mineral lime, and it has a really lovely taste.
Yes.
That our traditional corn flour here in the United States doesn't have.
Right. And we found it organic.
We found it organic.
And that's why we didn't want any glyphosate in our corn, so we found it organic. And corn is really kind of sketchy, right? I mean, that's like a product that's fed heavily to animals.
Yes.
And or heavily fed to animals.
The whole corn industry is so problematic, where not only do we have subsidies that promote meat and dairy and sugar foods, but we have subsidies that support corn to be grown as a fuel.
Right.
And this competes with the corn being grown for food, which competes with the corn being grown to feed to animals, to feed people.
Right.
And it's really terrible balance.
Yeah, you don't know what you're getting with corn.
Yeah, and then I remember, I don't know if it's true anymore, but I remember Newman's Own, for example, wasn't buying corn in the United States because they couldn't find completely untainted organic corn here, because the organic corn products, unfortunately, are influenced by all the other conventional industrial GMO corns that are grown here in this country.
It's scary.
It's scary and sad, but we do the best we can, and we're going to be making our own corn tortillas.
Masa harina. And we have to get a tortilla press because that's important. And, well...
You know, I don't know if anybody's keeping count, but we've had at least three sirens go while we've been recording today.
And it's sad because...
It's very sad. So I'm sending out love and healing thoughts to those being picked up right now in those ambulances.
Yes. When I was in Catholic school, we used to have to say this prayer every time we heard an ambulance. I remember that. We had to stand up at our desks, stop whatever we were doing, stand up at our desks and recite this prayer for the ambulance. And it always goes through my head whenever I hear an ambulance.
Well, that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, I guess.
It is a good thing to think about those in need in the moment. That's being in the moment.
It's Pavlovian.
And sending out thoughts, good wishes, healing thoughts.
Yes.
It can't hurt.
To have a bigger heart and to teach and illuminate, to make us all feel alive, not think about making money or superficial things.
I wanted to just mention, this isn't exactly food related, but maybe it could be. So Gary has a website, GaryDiMattei.com.
I do.
And this week you took some book challenge. You know, there are record challenges and theater challenges, and you've been posting on Facebook some of the books that have had an influence
on you. Yeah, it's to encourage reading. You've seen folks who post record covers and other things. Well, there's this one challenge going on about the books you've read to encourage reading. And I'm a big reader. I love to read. And so what were you going to say about me?
I was going to say that you posted last night a little story and reading of a Ferlinghetti poem called Old Italians Dying.
Well, one of the books that I read a lot is his poems about San Francisco. So I posted that cover. And you're not supposed to review the book or talk about the book or, you know, do anything else. You're just supposed to... It's one of these things where you're just supposed to post the picture of the cover. And I don't do that. I mean, where's the fun in that? I like to talk about why I'm posting it. So I make up my own rules. And I don't challenge anybody else. I mean, I figure if people want to do it, they can do it. So yeah, so I posted a picture of the cover, and then I wrote about my feelings about the book. And it's my blog. So go to GaryDiMattei.com and check out my blog.
Well, the poem you read is a great poem. Right. And there are many great poems that have been written over hundreds, thousands of years that resonate with us today.
Exactly.
And we've been going through the same challenges generation after generation after generation after generation. And reading these poems can either depress you or inspire you.
Right.
To kind of connect with other people from other times that have gone through this and have come to some conclusions. Some of them may be helpful to help you process what's going on today.
Yeah. Thanks for the shout out, Karen. That's great.
You're welcome.
Yeah, my blog is getting really fun now because I'm finally, after all of these years...
Finding your voice?
No, well, doing things that I enjoy, not because I feel I have to. And I think that's the theme of the program here is, you know, you need to do things that you enjoy, but you also need to be aware that, as Mr. Sondheim so eloquently put it, no one is alone. We all affect each other. And if you need to get... If you feel like you're being deprived of something because you're being asked to stay 6 feet away from someone and wear a mask, then there's a bigger problem here, and that's kind of what we're addressing.
Well, this brings it back to this concept that I brought up earlier about human domestication. And many of us have been trained since birth to put on a mask, like you always say.
Yes.
And be something, not necessarily what our heart wants us to be what our parents want us to be, what society wants to be. We go to school, we're learned how to do certain tasks in order to be able to get a job and work for someone else so that we can bring in money to feed our families and go on vacations and have maybe a little bit of fun. But it may not be what brings your heart the most joy.
And if it brings you the most joy, then the people around you are...
Exactly. So some people now have time and are forced to sit with themselves.
Right.
And look within. And it can be a very uncomfortable, painful process. But use it. Work through it. And find yourself. And find out what it is that you should be doing. This can be an opportunity for you. Now, then there are other people I know that are working 20-hour days. Essential workers. Or people that are working at home online. And their businesses are just giving them so much to do. Or they've got kids in school and they have their own jobs and they have to supervise their kids all day who have tons of homework and then they have to do their own jobs and it's very overwhelming. I get it. But if there's an opportunity to breathe, to meditate, and take an opportunity to find out what it is you're supposed to be doing on this planet, now is the time.
Yeah, I had a friend have to go back. He has to go back to work. They are... requiring him to go back to work, and it's heartbreaking because he's afraid and he's, you know, in his 60s and he can't retire. He'll never be able to retire, and he hates his job, and he's depressed, and now he's afraid to go back to work, but he has no choice. And so we get it. And why did this happen? Who knows? But again, there are people around you that can help you if they want to. A kind word, a phone call, a casserole, whatever it is. So let a shout out at 7 p.m. like we do here in New York to just let people know you're appreciated. It's not declining. It is growing at 7 p.m. in our neighborhood. And we're in the epicenter. And there are still people getting sick and still people going to the hospital and still people dying. Yeah, there will always be people dying. And that's what the poem that Mr. Ferlinghetti wrote, who was 101 years old. It's called The Old Italians Dying, and I put it up on my website. Gave some money to, I couldn't give a lot of money, but City Lights Booksellers is where Lawrence Ferlinghetti first started his work as a publisher in San Francisco when he moved there in 1950. It has been there for many, many years, and because of the pandemic, was probably going to close. So they did a crowdsourcing thing, and I gave $25, which was all I could give, but it helped because they raised in record amounts of time, like over $300,000, which was their goal. And now that nonprofit book publishing company and bookseller is going to stay open because they reached out to the community, and the community answered in a positive way and said, no, you are an
essential business.
An essential business. So anyway,
that's a great story. Gary, we're going to have to wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
So the point is, I think that we all need each other. We need to cooperate. We need to support those that we believe in.
And Giving Now Tuesday is happening today. So if you know of anybody that needs you to give them something, or you feel like you need to or want to give something, you don't have to have a Tuesday with a hashtag in front of it to do that. You could do that every day.
That's right. Every day. Give when you can, any way you can. So wrapping it up from Responsible Eating and Living Pandemic Headquarters, this has been another episode of It's All About Food with me, Karen Hartglass, and my wonderful partner, Gary DiMattei. Everybody,
have a delicious week.